أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب العظيم الذي لا يأتيه الباطل بين يديه ولا من خلفه، ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى، ووجدك ضالا فهدى، ووجدك عائلا فأغنى، فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر، وأما السائل فلا تنهر، وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله تبارك وتعالى tells us in the Quran in some ayat from Surah Al-Duha that we want to talk about today, reminding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam and reminding us as well of some of the favors that Allah ta'ala has honored the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. And he said to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, didn't your Lord, O Muhammad, find you an orphan or an yatim, and he took care of you? And didn't he find you a strength, dal, and he gave you the hidayah or the guidance? And didn't your Lord find you weak, poor, and he made you sufficient or self-sufficient? He gave you the ghina. So therefore, do not repel the orphan. And when someone comes and they ask for some assistance, the poor man, do not speak harshly to him and do not push him away. And concerning the favors of your Lord, talk about them. In these ayats of the Quran, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing to the mind of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam some of the tremendous favors that Allah bestowed upon him. And from those favors is that Allah told the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to remember when he was born, and before he came out of his mother's womb, his father Abdullah died, thus making the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a yatim. And as you all will agree with me, there's no one situation who is similar to the situation of the yatim. Many of us have come to Florida from different places, whether it's outside of America or outside of this state. And when we came to make our lives in this state, we didn't find people around us who we knew. And we didn't find people who were in a position to give us some assistance. But because you were an adult, and because you had quwwah, or you had power, it was easy for you to have some tasarruf, to know what to do in order to build your life. To the point that now, you have your own home, and you have your own businesses, and you have your life, unlike the yatim. The yatim has no power. The yatim has no one to care for him. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is reminding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you were born yatim without a father. And then after your father died, your mother died. And after she died, your grandfather died. And after he died, your uncle died. Showing us what, ikhwan? Showing us that irregardless of the adversity that is affecting you in your life, irregardless of the problems that you are facing in your life, whether they are problems connected to your finances, whether they are problems connected to your marriage, whether they are problems connected to your job, any problem that is facing you in your existence, your situation is not worse than your team. So since Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had the ability and the power to help the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, likewise, Allah can help you out of your condition, with the condition that, like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are of those people who hold on to the deen. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Prophet of another ayah. And he said to him, and you were astray, and Allah guided you. This is a very important point that we want you to pay attention to. You all know that before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commissioned with this risala, he was known to the people of Mecca as Al-Amin. He was the one in Mecca that they used to leave their amanat with. All of the amanah of the people of Mecca was left with Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a man who honored the guests. He was a man who was truthful in his speech. He was a man who was truthful in his actions. He was a man who was beloved to the people. But in spite of that, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said to him in the Quran, and you were astray, and then we gave you guidance. That helps us to understand what? It helps us understand that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala called the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dal before he received the revelation of the Quran and the Sunnah. And you and me likewise, if we refuse to hold on to this Quran and the Sunnah, even though you are a person who honors the guest, and even though you are a person whose name is Ahmed or Abdullah or Hassan, even if these are your names and you were born on Al-Islam, raised as Muslims, your parents are Muslims, if you don't take this Quran and Sunnah, you too are dumb. You too are astray. Until you take these two proofs that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has sent down, until you put them over your opinion, and over the opinions of your shuyukh, and over the opinions of the a'immah, when those opinions are contradictory to these two sources, until you do that, you also are dal, and from the dalim, until we take these two sources. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, and you were weak, you were poor, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave you the ghina. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala made you self-sufficient. When the Prophet was born alayhi salatu wa salam, he grew up without any money, until finally Allah tabarak wa ta'ala helped him to marry our mother Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu ta'ala anha. When he married Khadija, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a man who had some finances, who had some resources. And then when she died, once again he became poor, to the point that when Allah ta'ala commissioned him with this message, the kuffar boycotted the Muslims. To the point that our mother Aisha described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his wealth. And she said in an authentic hadith that's in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, she said, كانت تمر ببيوت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أياما لا توقد فيها نيارا وما كنا نأكل إلا من الأسودين. Days used to pass by us in the households of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in the households of his wife. Days used to go by at a time and a light or a fire would not be kindled in any of the homes. The only thing that we used to eat from was from the two black things. From the two black things. What are the two black things? The date and the black cup of water that they used to drink out of. Days at a time. This was his faqr. This was his situation. And then when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave him establishment with the deen, and he opened up Mecca, and he conquered the Arabs, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala made him rich, as he said in this ayah. Didn't Allah find you poor, and then he made you self-sufficient to the point where people used to come to accept al-Islam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give only one man 100 camels 5 times. Give another man 100 camels 6 times. He had all of the money after Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blessed him. So therefore Allah told the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, so therefore, because of these three honors and favors that I bestowed upon you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be kind to the orphan. Brothers and sisters in al-Islam, the orphan in al-Islam, he has a special position. He has a position like no one else in the community. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam told us in an authentic hadith And the authority of Abu Huraira, also Sahl ibn Sa'd, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet explained to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the place and position of the orphan, he said, Ana wa kafilu al-yateen kahataini fil jannah. I, along with the one who takes care of the orphan, we will be like this in paradise. And he split his fingers and he did like this. He didn't do like this. He split his fingers, and the narrator of the hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he emphasized and stressed that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam split his fingers. Why did he split his fingers? Because the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, there will be no one from the sons of Adam who will share with him the same place in Jannah. He alone will have the maqam al-mahmood الذي وعده الله سبحانه وتعالى إياه. He alone will have the special place in the Firdaus, which is for the best of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the one who takes care of the yateen will be in close proximity, but he won't be in the same place. Not even his wives will be given the same place as he is given, because he is what? Sayyid Bani Adam wala Fakhr, as he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala after that told him, and when the man comes to you, Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, to ask you for some assistance, do not repel the man. Do not push the poor man away. Do not push the Muslim man who comes and he needs some assistance. Do not make him feel like he's so unimportant and so low, and that you're so arrogant and so high that you cause something to be in his heart by pushing him away. But in fact, what you should do is remember these favors that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has bestowed upon you. With that invocation, one, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he taught us some valuable lessons. He taught us lessons that if we were to contemplate them, we will find ease in our lives. He taught us that whatever your problem is, Ya Abdullah wa Ya Amatullah, and whatever fitna is facing you in your life, he told us to do what? Compare your fitna to my fitna. Compare your problem to my problem. Whatever your problem is, then you know what it is. Look at the problems of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. When he came to the people, calling them to that which would give them life, they said to him, you're a liar. They said to him, you're a majnoon. You're a kahin. You're a sha'ir. When he came to them with the message of La ilaha illallah, they accused him of all types of lies. And then they tried to kill him. And they killed those people who he loved. And know for a surety that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being that he is Rasulullah, his love is the pure love. When he loves a man or a woman or a person, he loves them the true love. The love that is meant, that Allah wanted to be between the human beings. So when they came, the kuffar did what? They killed those people who were close to him for no reason. They threw him out of his country and exiled him. They boycotted him. They made a war against him. After all of that, you look at the fact that he was born as a yatim. You look at the fact that he lost his mother after that. You look at the fact that he lost his grandfather and his uncle. You look at the fact that he lost his wife, Khadija alayhi salatu wasalam. You look at the fact that his children were dying, his daughter, his son. And so the person, when he compares his life, he's able to put his problems into perspective. And he does not contemplate suicide. He does not contemplate leaving al-Islam. We unfortunately have heard recently of one of our sisters in Islam that she has allowed the shaitan to come to her and to trick her into thinking that there's no way out except to kill herself and to take her life. We say to the father of that girl and to the fathers of all the women in this community, Aina antum ya rijal al-ummah? Where are the men of this community where their children can have so many problems that they contemplate killing themselves? How are you going to be so busy with your dunya and not know what's going on in the inner recesses of your home? Where are the men of this community? Where are the women of this community, the mothers, who their daughters are contemplating suicide. Where are you? We say to that sister, first of all, she needs to see Allahu Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Because she needs to know that if the Muslim kills himself, if the Kafir kills himself, from the time that they kill themselves until the establishment of the hour, they will continue to kill themselves the way they killed themselves in this dunya. If she jumps off of a building, she will continue to jump off of a high place in her grave. If she takes some poison, she will continue to take that poison in her grave. If she stabs herself, she will continue to stab herself in her grave. Brothers and sisters in al-Islam, ittaqullah fi anfusikum wa ittaqullah fi abna'ikum wa awladikum. You people need to become more aware about the deen and about the behavior of your children, as opposed to being so aware of your dunya and your businesses. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the good in this life and the next life, and to make us of those who are repentant and who are truthful in word and deed. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى لَنَا وَلَكُمْ الثبات والتوفيق. الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي لا إله غيره. وأصلي وأسلم على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. In the last ayah of this surah, brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, Allahu Tabarak wa Ta'ala ordered the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after reminding him of all of the favors, Allahu Ta'ala ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do what? To mention and to talk about the favors that Allah Ta'ala has honored with him, and that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has blessed him with. And know for surety, as Allah tells us in the Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you people were to sit to try to count and enumerate the ni'mas or the favors of Allah, never would you be able to do so. You would spend the rest of your lives trying to count and number the favors of Allah upon us. So Allah Ta'ala told the Prophet and ordered him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to mention the favors of Allah. Verily, all of us will fess up to the fact that Allah has blessed us and honored us in our lives. But there are three favors that I want to mention that come to us in an authentic hadith, in the hopes of helping you brothers and sisters to remember that whatever your problem is, you have to put it into perspective. How do you put your problems into perspective? Again, you compare your problem to the problem of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You put it into perspective by saying, maybe this fitness comes as a result of what my own hands have put forth. Allah is taking revenge for what I've been doing. I only come to the masjid for Jummah. That's the only time I know Salah. I never make Salatul Fajr on time. So because of that fact, if I'm not holding on to the cable of Allah, Allah Ta'ala is not going to help me. He's going to afflict me with problems. He puts his problems into perspective by saying, this is just a trial. Allah is testing me to see if I'm going to believe or to see if I'm going to reject the faith. He puts his problem into perspective by saying, well, so-and-so has a bigger problem than me. Alhamdulillah. So-and-so has been afflicted with cancer, and this man lost his life. At least I have a breath in my body, so I still have a chance. So he puts his life into perspective. From the favors of Allah that we want to talk about is an authentic hadith that has been collected by Al-Imam Abu Isa al-Tirmidhi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu وَأَنْ أَهْلِ الْحَدِيثَ الَّذِينَ حَفِظُوا لَنَا هَذَا الدِّينَ الْمَتِينَ. On the authority of Ubaydullah Ibn al-Muhsin al-Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَصْبَحَ مِنْكُمْ آمنا في سربه ومعافا في بدنه وعنده قوت يومه فكأنما حيزت له الدنيا بحظافرها. The Prophet told us عليه الصلاة والسلام, whoever from amongst you, he wakes up in the morning and he has security and safety in his place of residence. He's in a state of peace. He's secure. He's not worrying about the enemy coming to knock his door down and to take him and to rape his wife and to take his children and to take his property. Whoever wakes up in the morning and he has safety in his place of residence, and he wakes up in the morning and he has good health, he doesn't have cancer, he doesn't have AIDS, he wakes up in the morning and he has good health, and the third thing, he finds enough to eat for that day. He finds enough to eat for that day. Whoever wakes up with these three things, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what? It is as if he has been given the dunya and all that is in it. He has been given the dunya and all that is in it. With that being the case, Ya Abdullah, many of us will look at our own condition, and alhamdulillah, we woke up this morning in beautiful homes. And it's not like the case of our brothers in Palestine, where one of them wakes up in the morning at the sound of a bulldozer at his front door, and the adab of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the abna of the khanazir and the qirada, they're at their doors and they knock the house down to make room for some of the kuffar to live in the house. This is not our case. We woke up today in our nice home, no problem. And we woke up today in good health. All you have to do, ikhwan, is look to your right, and you will witness a sign of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And which of the signs of Allah will we deny and reject? There are those from our community, because of old age, because of sicknesses, they have to pray to Allah sitting down. But that's not the case of the majority of the people. So whoever woke up in the morning with good health, he's another person who follows this hadith. And lastly, whoever wakes up in the morning and he finds enough in his house for today's sustenance, enough to get him by for today. When we look at our cupboards and our cabinets and our refrigerators, alhamdulillah, mashallah, we have enough for a month. We have enough for 2 and 3 months if we had to. So with that being the case, the Muslim can put his affairs into perspective. The true wealth in Islam, brothers and sisters in al-Islam, is for a man to be content with what Allah has given. We have to take this time out now, inshallah ta'ala, for 2 minutes or 3 minutes, just to clarify something, because we don't want any iltibas or su'safah. خاصة الذين عندهم أمراض في قلوبهم الذين ينقلون على الناس ويقولون عليهم لأنهم يريدون التشويش بين العباد. In this ayah in Surah Al-Duha, Allah تبارك وتعالى has clearly established in his statement, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. Allah has found you, Muhammad, ضال, astray, and then he guided you. It's not befitting for a believer after that to come and say, no, the Prophet wasn't astray. It's not befitting. But what we can do is we can make a ta'wil. We can make an explanation, being that he is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can make some type of ta'wil when the proofs allow us to make a ta'wil. But what the people do is they go overboard in even trying to make the ta'wil, and that they hang on to what? To the asar allati lam tuthbit fi dinillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a tafsir in which it says the meaning of this ayat, that Allah found the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam astray and then he guided him. There's an ayat or a hadith that says that when the Prophet alayhi wa sallam was in Mecca and he wanted to make the hijrah to Medina, he lost his way. And so Allah guided him. He was astray in the way and Allah guided him back. We say to the people, first of all, we have to reject this because it hasn't been authentically established. And that's from the affairs that are unseen. How are we going to know? How are we going to know that Abu Bakr existed? How are we going to know that Khadija was a wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How are we going to know about the Hijrah? How are we going to know about the Ansar? How are we going to know about the Jihad of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except if it has been established in the Quran or in the authentic Sunnah? If it was left to every da'wah, any claim that the person made, it would be a million religions in al-Islam. So we say that this issue of the Prophet ﷺ being lost on the way to Mecca is not an authentic hadith, so we can't use it as a proof of this ayat to make the tafsir of it. Another unauthentic incident concerning this is that al-shaytan, la'natullahi alayhi wa ala subhanallah ansarihi, it said that a shaytan came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he wanted to invite the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have some sex with a woman, astaghfirullah, and he was almost inclined to do so. That doesn't need a lot of speech. We all know that that's impossible and it's not true. So with that being the case, ikhwan, the meaning of the ayat is that before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave the Messenger of Allah the hidayah of the Quran and the Sunnah, he was astray. The proof of that is an ayat in Surah Ash-Shura in which Allah Ta'ala said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا رُوحٍ وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحٍ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. And for that reason, Muhammad, we reveal to you from our spirit. You did not know what the book was, nor did you know what Iman was. And also in another ayat of the Quran in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, Allah Ta'ala described the condition or the hal of the companions when he said, وَإِن كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Even though they were before this in clear manifest going astray. So these ayats show us the meaning of this ayat in Surah Al-Duha, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was astray when Allah Ta'ala had not given him the Quran and the Sunnah. And again, we reiterate and we emphasize, if we insist, brothers and sisters, on putting our opinions before the Quran and the Sunnah, and if we insist on acting the way that we act when it's in contradiction to the Quran and the Sunnah, and when we want to take any way other than those two ways, then we also should be considered to be astray, as long as we don't hold on to these two texts. So I hope that that is clear. And any time that we come here, we're going to give an opportunity to the people after the salat to come to us to ask any question that they want concerning the khutbah, so that we can minimize the fitna of the shayateen from the ins. That's all. Allah al-afi wa salamah.